Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for being with me tonight on a very special edition of Anchoring with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither, the host of the show. I'm a television news anchor, reporter, as well as TV host. And I had came up with the idea that I wanted to do a special show tonight because there's so many of our fans and friends and family members that are living in the northeast section of the United States. And, of course, Hurricane Earl is basically making its way up the Atlantic Ocean and going to be causing some severe problems for a lot of people. And yesterday, my very good friend, also one of my biggest fans, Linda Johnson, was helping me out during another show. She was producing my chat room. So Linda, of course, all day yesterday was just completely focused on Hurricane Earl and how that was going to affect her, her community, as well as her family, because she lives in North Carolina. And in fact, the area that she lives is in the direct path in which Earl is estimated to hit. Last information was around midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning. So I sort of jokingly said to Linda, well, we've got to do a show tomorrow, and I want you to come on the air so you can kind of talk about evacuations and what folks in your community are doing. And she thought I was joking, and then she realized that I was serious. So that was sort of how we came about with the show. Michael Kay, my co-host, is going to join us so he can also kind of add some input as well as information. So let's go ahead and get Michael on the line so we can go ahead and start this conversation. Hi, Michael.
Hey, darling, how are you?
Very, very good. Also very concerned, of course, about all of our friends on the Northeast, especially people in North Carolina like Linda, because they've got some serious issues that's about to take place down there.
Yeah, this storm is no joke, and it's headed right for Cape Hatteras, too. Linda's in Morehead City, and Morehead City, I believe, is about 20 miles away from, we'll find out directly, but... there's no doubt there's going to be a lot of rain and a lot of wind. I pray to God there's no damage or anything, but this one's big. It's actually been downgraded to a 2 now. So, still traveling very slow, kind of at 18 miles an hour. So, it's gonna
right.
hit hard.
And definitely from my experience being in television news my entire life, about 16 years now, I've had the chance to cover many, many hurricanes. In Ocean City, Maryland, as well as North Carolina. And what I do know about them is that, you know, what happens is you get the most destruction when they kind of come to land and they slow down as opposed to coming and just kind of getting out of there. So I'm just excited that Linda is going to join us. Now, also, not only Linda is going to join us, but her fiancé, Charlie, has been very nice to join us as well, and I believe Charlie's going to call in at about 20 to 25 minutes after the hour to, go ahead and give us some information, because from my understanding, Charlie is sort of a person down there who deals with the roads, so he'll be able to tell us a lot about that. But Michael, you also, while we wait for Linda to call in, you've been kind of doing a little bit of research and got all this great information together about hurricanes in North Carolina. You want to share a little bit of that?
Yeah, it's actually really quite stunning. North Carolina has been hit repeatedly. There's over 400 known tropical or subtropical cyclones that have hit there. It's actually ranked fourth in the states for most torrential areas. Right behind Florida, Texas, and Louisiana. And the hurricanes have actually cost them over $11 billion in damage and almost 1,000 total fatalities. So it always seems to be just nailed. It's that Cape Hatteras that just sticks out a little bit too much that tends to snag the eye. But
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, I think that was a great way that you described it when you said it just sticks out there just a little bit too much. And I also want to mention and just kind of give a shout out to a lot of my friends that are down in Ocean City, Maryland, that's covering the storm here from my old television station, WMAR. Meteorologist Justin Burke is actually in Ocean City now, along with a bunch of other local television stations from D.C. as well as Baltimore. Michael, that's down here covering. I got a chance to see their reports on the news also.
Great. Are they expected to actually get hit a little bit in Ocean City, Maryland?
Yeah, Ocean City is not going to get anything nearly as what Linda and folks of Moorhead and North Carolina are going to experience. I think with us down here, we're just talking about the high winds and the high surf and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure we're not going to get anything in terms of what Linda is going to get. So, Linda, if you're out there, you can go ahead and call in. We're waiting for you to call in. And Linda, throughout today has been a little bit nervous, and I told her, I said, oh, you're going to be fine. Just basically, you know, kind of tell us what's going on down there inside of your community. So we're just looking forward to hearing what it is that she has to say. And I think she's on the line, Michael, so let's go ahead and see if we can get the star of the hour with us, which is Miss Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hey,
are you with us?
Hey. Yes, I'm
here. Hey, Linda.
I'm hanging on.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Michael.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Doing fine. Doing fine.
Are you sure? You're lying.
Sitting and waiting.
I would be scared crapless.
I know. Linda, it's Victoria here also, and I was thinking what Michael said, you're lying. I would be scared to death. So kind of give us a quick synopsis about what's going on down there right now. Is it raining yet? Are there high winds? What's taking place?
It just started raining, so I guess we're starting to feel the theater bands now, and the wind's kicking up. If you step outside my back door, you can actually hear the ocean from here.
Wow.
And you can hear the waves, and you can hear the sound from the... We have a barrier island that separates us. There's the Bogue Sound, which is a part of the Intercoastal Waterway, then a barrier island, which is called Bogue Banks. And that is sort of our protection from, you know, the worst of the storms, but you can definitely hear it.
It looks like it's about 21 miles away from what I'm looking at, the National Weather Service.
Right.
In Cape Hatteras, it's about 84 miles away. How far are you away from Cape Hatteras, Linda?
We are about, well, we have to go by ferry. So
right.
Cape Hatteras is an hour's drive down Route 70. You get on the ferry, and it takes about 2.5 hours to get over to Ocracoke.
Oh, it's that far.
Another 30 minutes to get over to Hatteras. There's a series of small islands until you get to Nag's Head area.
Right.
Well, Linda, let me ask you this question. In my experience and having the opportunity in my 16-year television career of covering hurricanes and disasters and things of that sort, one thing that I noticed, everybody always hits the local grocery stores and gets the milk, the toilet paper, the bread, and all that stuff. So what's the scene like down there when it comes to the grocery stores and that sort of thing?
Oh, the shelves get cleaned out. The first thing to go is anything that you don't have to cook. And then things that you don't have to refrigerate, except for milk. And we hopefully won't run out of power. That way, if we run out of power, we won't be able to eat our cereal. But just all the staples, donuts, all the fattening things.
Oh, yeah. Chips and cookies and all of that good stuff.
Right. They do get cleared out very, very fast.
Now, is this your first hurricane, or have you been living in this area most of your life,
no,
and you're kind of used to this?
Well, I grew up in West Virginia, but I moved to this area in 1980. Gosh, it's hard to believe. So I've been here about 30 years, and my children grew up with it. So in the beginning, coming from West Virginia, where the worst thing you have are thunderstorms, it was quite a shock, you know, the first few times we definitely got the heck out of Dodge. But after a few years, we kind of learned to just stay put. And, you know, unless, you know, you felt deep down inside, you better go. Or my dad called me on the phone and said, you better go.
Go ahead, Michael, ask your question.
Sorry, buddy. What made you stay? Just experience or the fact that you're a little higher up? Or?
It's a combination of both. And it's kind of agonizing because it's kind of a wait and see. And then there's that small window where, okay, we can go. And then that window closes because, you know, if you leave at that time, you're going to be stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Yeah.
You might be in worse shape than if you just stayed put. So it really, you just have to pay close attention to the weather. And
my question actually, Michael, was what you talked about, you know, what do you base your decision on actually staying there? Because, Linda, as we have been putting this show together, I have to tell you, I got about 3 or 4 emails of people saying, well, Victoria, why is Linda going to stay there? We're worried about her. She should get out of there, as opposed to doing the show with you. And I thought that was kind of great that of course that folks are very concerned about you and your family being there.
But I guess after doing
this for so long, I guess like Michael said, you know, you kind of have a better understanding of if you should stay or if you should just simply go.
We do, and Charlie being and what we call an old timer, he's from here. He has a pretty good idea of whether we need to go or not. There's been times he's made us leave and he's stayed behind. But then there's people that are actually out on the islands that their only transportation on and off the island is by ferry. And once mm-hmm. those ferries shut down, which they've already done,
yeah.
There's no leaving.
Yeah.
And they have even been asked at times to sign a notification of next of kin form.
Wow. That's scary. Wow.
That would get me to leave, but they, you know, they're a very hard.
Yeah, that's when you know you gotta go. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That would.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I think they started using that as a scare tactic.
Well, it's very effective.
Well,
I have
let
to
me
know.
Tell you. Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. If the city or county or state would be using that as a scare tactic, it will certainly scare me and get me the hell out of there. I'd be the first one out, gone for sure.
Exactly. The only thing bad about the Hatteras and where it's most likely going to do the most damage is if you haven't evacuated by now, there is no leaving.
Yeah, you're done.
So they're there to stay.
Yeah. Wow. Your last really big one was Hurricane Floyd in 99. Is that right?
Yes. Floyd was, I guess, our mini, I wouldn't call it mini. It was our Katrina, I would say,
yeah.
But actually it was worse inland than it was on the coast. There was a great deal of flooding, I'd say, starting maybe an hour from the coast. I mean, the whole town's underwater. And I don't remember how many days this went on, you know, until the waters receded, because we'd had some storms prior to that, and all the rivers and streams and sounds were already backed up, and the grounds were soaked, and there was nowhere for the water to go.
You talking about is making me think about when I had to cover a hurricane. I can't remember with what exactly that one was, because I've done so many of them. But, you know, and all of you that are listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about when you see all of the reporters on television and we're outside and the wind is basically blowing and we're trying to hold on to
something. You're holding
and,
on.
Yes, and we're trying to hold on for dear life. Now, I was very fortunate, Michael and Linda and our guests that are listening, I only had to go out and do that particular coverage one time, and I remember being out there thinking, how crazy is this that they've got me out here, you know, looking crazy and all of this, and, you know, people back at home can barely hear what it is that us reporters are trying to say, because
oh,
the wind, you know, it's so intense. Yeah, the wind was just so intense, and I just remember thinking, I hope they never send me back out here to do this again. And so I ended up not having to do that, but I did, you know, have to cover some other stories. But I always think it's funny, and what people, what viewers must think of us when they see us on television out in those hurricanes, thinking, you know, why do they send those people out there?
Yeah, and you don't have the hair for a storm reporter.
No, I don't. Are you kidding me? Not only do
that's a waste of a good blowout.
Yes, it is. none of the reporters and news anchors or even, you know, have hair for that. But basically, you know, when you're out there like that, the best thing that a girl can do is stick a baseball cap. So I always just would, in fact, Michael, I wouldn't even do my hair. I would just stick a baseball cap on and put my little hood on and just get out there. I was just like, forget it, you know.
I was getting ready to say baseball cap and hoodie.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I know. Well, I want to just quickly
say. I've seen a lot of that today. I'm sorry.
Oh, you have. I'm sure you have.
Oh, yeah.
I want to just quickly say hello to all of our guests visiting us in Slash Chat Room. We've got a lot of guests today, as well as our regulars. Lisa is with us, as well as Cheryl and Gina and Cindy and a bunch of our other folks. But for those of you that are joining us, again, thank you so much for being here. This is sort of a special show that I decided to do tonight because of Hurricane Earl. Linda was in my chat room producing yesterday, and she was kind of just, you know, sort of talking about what was going to be taking place. So I asked her if she'd want to come on tonight to talk about what life is like for people like her, you know, who live in these areas that are prone to a hurricane. So that is why she is here. Her fiance Charlie is going to be calling in a few minutes also. Charlie, as Linda talked about, knows a lot about the roads and the water and all that situation down there, so he'll be able to speak to that. But Linda, I imagine a lot of the roads down there are probably already closed, as I know there's a lot of overwash on the streets already.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Route 12, which runs up the Outer Banks, it's already been washed over in several sections, and the road crews are standing by to get that cleaned up as soon as they can get in there after it's safe.
Wow.
So,
Hurricane Isabel. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Linda, go right ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know how they actually do it. Now, that takes a lot of nerve out there when you're cut off from the mainland and there's no way to get back into civilization. And it could be months if you have major damage. So
that is definitely true. Right. Mm-hmm. Michael, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say back in Hurricane Isabel, I believe it was back in 1980, was the one that actually created a new inlet there just because of the washover and everything. So that's a lot of wind and that's a lot of water hitting that area.
It is.
And I know, too, I was thinking because at least down here in Ocean City, Maryland, it was just last year that the state and Maryland State had gotten some federal money from the federal government because they had a lot of beach erosion down in Ocean City as well. So, but what's interesting about that whole area down there where you live, Linda, is that, you know, you guys are always getting hurricanes all the time. So I'm always struck by, you know, people like yourself that make the decision to stick it out and to stay there. I mean, you must really, really love it down there. I'm sure you do, right?
We do. But, you know, I was looking back at the number of hurricanes that we've had on the coast, doing a little research. And we've been saying every hurricane season that we're overdue. Every year we say that. And it's actually been since 2005. We've been actually threatened by a hurricane. So we keep saying we're overdue, but we want to continue to be overdue.
Yeah, right. And you can, and it's always during this time, August through October, is that right?
It starts in actually the 1st of June. Goes
to
November. Yeah, it's literally 6 months from 1st of June to end of November, but usually if they're going, they start coming off the Africa coast, and they, just like we have two or three behind this one that may turn into hurricanes.
Right.
Sounds like
guys, let me break for a second because Charlie's on the line. We want to have him join the conversation. Charlie has been nice enough to join us. He is Linda's fiance, and he can kind of give us a little bit of perspective when it comes to the evacuation place down there as well as the road. So let's see if we can get Charlie. Charlie, you're live with us. Are you on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, how are y'all?
The big The big question is, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Yeah. we got lucky, quite honestly. We got lucky. The hurricane has decided to slow down, lose some of its power and turn a little bit away from us and heading on up the coast. So it's lucky for us. But it's just one of those things that we have to just hunker down and wait for it to go by.
Now, what about evacuations? In fact, I was talking to a few people on Facebook, and a few people had vacations that they were supposed to be coming down to the Outer Banks this weekend. But, of course, because of this, they're not coming. So there were probably a lot of tourists and stuff down there that I'm sure that left.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it affected a lot of people, especially on the Outer Banks north of us, because of the fragile barrier islands that are up there above Ocracoke and Hatteras area. The roads get washed away real easy, so overwashed from the ocean. And DOT has equipment standing by to clear the roads up just as quick as possible so they can get traffic back after the storm goes by.
I always find that's amazing as a television reporter when the Department of Transportation from different states, when there's an emergency like that, how those guys are just like really there, ready to stand by to try to get things moving again. And Charlie, you may be able to address this, but I know just doing some research and kind of reading on what's going on, the National Coast Guard has brought a lot of the ships and the boats in off the water. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, the Coast Guard puts up different notices and stuff depending on the frequency, the storm's strength, and also when it's going to hit certain areas, and they start closing the ports and stuff up at different stages. I think they closed the port of Wilmington this morning for anything that needed to go out. They needed to go out before then, and they were there, then they had to stay. And so the Coast Guard watches it very well, very well also.
Yeah, I just think that whole thing is just, like I said, really, really interesting. And again, for those of you that are joining us, we're having a great conversation. It's about Hurricane Earl that is basically due to hit the Northeast. We have Charlie on the line with us as well as Linda. Linda's one of my regular fans and listeners to At Home with Victoria, so both of them were nice enough to join us this evening as they live right there in the area where the hurricane is supposed to hit. Michael is also with us on the line as well. Michael, did you want to jump in? Did you have a question you wanted to ask?
I wouldn't mind asking Charlie, actually. The population of Morehead City, that's around like 7,600 people, am I right? And if so, what portion of those people evacuated, like 20%, 30%?
Well, it all depends on the season, whether it's the summertime or the wintertime. 7,600 sounds about right for our wintertime normal people that live here, but during the summertime, it multiplies quite a bit.
Right.
Above that, and most of those people on the Outer Banks that are on the beach strand themselves, they leave because of the fragile island there. It's only in some places a mile across, some places less, so they have to get off the island just to be safe and come to the mainland, and they'll travel up 70 to get further inland to try to find places to stay.
Right. And the term Crystal Coast, does that go all the way from Ocracoke to Cape Hatteras?
Well, no, it actually starts in our area here.
Okay.
Of course, they call the Crystal Coast all the way up and down, but mostly it starts in this area here around where. If you look at the map of North Carolina, you've got three capes that kind of hook out into the ocean.
Right.
From Wilmington. Or Cape Fear, then you've got Cape Lookout, then you've got Hatteras. Well, we are just a little bit south of Cape Lookout. Actually, our beach runs east and west, so that's where we are, right in the hook of the Cape of Cape Lookout in the middle of the state.
Oh, I see you right there. Absolutely. So you are kind of a little higher and tucked away a little bit.
Yeah, we're tucked away a little bit further away from the Gulf Stream than Hatteras. Hatteras is very fragile and very exposed to
Yeah. Well, I feel better now. I was so worried you guys were going to get smacked down because of... I was looking at the National Weather Service, and the eye of this thing is like 400 miles wide, and it's heading right to you. I thought, what is this woman doing sitting at home? My goodness.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
Right
yeah,
now. I mean, I wanted to leave my house.
Yeah, the weird thing is the eye, right around the edge of the eye is the worst part. As it goes out from the eye, it gets less and less strength.
Powerful.
But
right.
And the eye itself is completely quiet and calm. When I was born and raised here, and I was here as a child when Hazel came through. And
right.
I remember mm-hmm. driving around town with my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters in the car, and the eye came over, and it was just incredible how just calm it was. It was just as peaceful
wow.
and no wind at all.
Yeah, Hurricane Hazel hits her,
I think
October 15th, right?
So
you experienced that? You actually experienced that, Charles, where you saw the eye? You experienced that
yeah,
whole thing?
I was a child. My mom and dad woke me up, and I rolled out of my bed, and the water was just underneath my bed. We had to walk out of our house with water, and then I had to swim across my neighbor's yard to get up to the high street where the car was parked so we could ride around town. We had to get out of the house during
wow.
that.
Charlie, you sound like you could be one of those guys on the television that's chasing those tornadoes and stuff with that story.
Nah, yeah.
Not a tornado,
no. I've basically sat through all the hurricanes that came through here. I'll be here my whole life, so I've been in the Marine industry my whole life. My family was, so I've dealt with the Marine field. All these years.
Yeah, that's your main...
Charlie, let me ask you this question. I just got really interested when you said that you've been there your whole life, you're not going anywhere. What is it about the people within your community, within that area that's like you, that says, hey, you know what, this is my home, this is my community, this is where my family is, I'm going to stay here, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, that takes a lot of strength, to do that.
Well, mostly it's more of, like Linda said earlier, it's more of a gut feeling of when you feel like you need to leave or when you need to stay. And I've left before when I felt like it was not worth the risk. Plus, Linda's dad got mad at us one time for staying, and he told me I better not do that again to his daughter. So we left after that a couple of times. But it's normally you have to look at the direction of the hurricane, where it's heading, and where it looks like it's going to make landfall. If you know the characteristic of a hurricane, the northeastern quadrant of the hurricane is always the worst part, which is the direction that it's going to the top right mm-hmm. front part of it is always the worst part. All the rest of it is not so bad. And so if it was to go to landfall in Wilmington area, or between here and Wilmington, then it would be bad for us. But if it mm-hmm. were to, like it's doing now, going off the coast, then it's not so bad because we're on the backside of the hurricane is the way we refer to it.
Right. Wow.
So you look at those things, and then you look at the strength of it and say, okay, if it's Category 4, we better leave. Even though we're on high land, other areas get washed out and a lot of damage, a lot of trees. We had four or five trees fall in our neighborhood during one storm that we had that fell over the shed and the fences and tore up a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
fell on our neighbor's house.
Yeah, it did fall on our neighbor's house. It went through his roof and everything. So, those are things.
So once the hurricane, comes through, what is that whole cleanup effort like for everyone
in communities
like yours?
Everybody pitches in and helps each other rake the yard. Like the neighbor, when the tree fell on his yard, the neighbors got together and helped him cut the tree up and get it off his house and then cover up with tarps until insurance could come and appraise it and get somebody to come in and fix his roof. But, so it's just a major cleanup thing of picking up pine cones and limbs and hauling it off, and the city and the county goes around with dump trucks and picks up people's, if they can't haul it off themselves, they'll come around and pick up mm-hmm. debris. And people, you know, when their houses get flooded down east, I think Isabel tore up down east and flooded Cedar Island and all those areas, and people had to take mm-hmm. most of their belongings and put on the side of the street. And it was
wow.
months for the county to clean it up and haul the stuff off because it was so much, refrigerators and washing machines and just everything. Some houses just got totally ruined.
My God almighty. I don't know how you
yeah.
people live there.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here.
Some areas are low and some areas are high. That's just those things.
The sounds you hear the day after are generators and chainsaws.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
that's
lived
a good
on
point there, Linda. The only thing you hear after is you said generators and chainsaws. I like that. That's a good point. Getting back to work. And, you know, one thing that I can definitely say, being a television reporter, a news anchor, and having the opportunity to cover whether it's a flooding or a tornado, a hurricane, or whatever it is, I have to tell both of you and just everyone who's listening, and I have the opportunity to work in the Midwest, so I've covered many, many, many tornadoes when I lived in Decatur, Illinois. But one thing that I'm always so happy to see and so struck with the day after, just how entire communities get together and just really help each other. You know, there's really just sense of feeling of, hey, I'm your neighbor, what can I do to help you? I mean, it's just this great pride that communities have, and you know, it just does something very good to my heart to see that not only that you have people that have lost their entire house in some cases that don't have clothes to put on their back, but you know, they come out of these situations very happy and saying, hey, you know, Charlie or Linda, what can I do to help you? I just always just find that incredible that Americans have that type of spirit with them.
That's American.
That's
thousand
right. people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a question for Charlie. What? Where is the nearest shelter? I assume there's shelters at some schools or something like that for people that stayed and are going to get hit or anything like that. Where are some of the shelters in your area?
Well, most of the schools are open. We have a school that's probably about a mile and a half from our house, a high school, and then there's some schools, like they have a school in Newport that actually allows you to bring your pet, which
oh,
is not,
that's great.
Not all shelters do that, but that one does. And
that's the first for this year.
Yeah, and that was real nice for, and they put it on the radio and TV to let people know that they could go there if they had a pet and they couldn't leave home, that they could bring their pet with them. And so that was nice. And so they're scattered all through the county for people in different areas.
Wow. Is the Carteret General Hospital equipped for something I guess they would have to be equipped for something of mass devastation.
Yeah, they're equipped to cover any yeah. injuries and stuff. That they open themselves up as a shelter, but they,
right.
they're prepared for anything that happens, yeah.
Wow.
Well, what is it like out there now? Because as we do the show, I constantly get emails and questions that our listeners and fans are writing in about. And everybody keeps asking me inside the chat room and also the questions that I'm getting, has it started raining there yet, Charlie?
Yeah, it's been raining. It's off and on. It's not a constant rain. Right now, the wind's hardly blowing. What I'm looking at,
yeah.
the trees, they're not blowing much at all. But it comes and goes in bursts during storms like this. You know, you'll have a section where it'll come and blow for a couple of minutes. All of a sudden, it'll drop right out, and it'll rain for 15, 20 minutes, then it'll stop and clear up. And it's weird. It really is weird how these things do.
Wow.
I'm standing in the backyard right now, and it's eerily quiet. I hear the
yeah.
crickets and the frogs.
Oh, I don't like that sound.
Can you still hear the ocean?
Right, but I do hear the ocean waves. But one thing about this particular one and a lot that we've been through is they come through at night.
Yeah.
And that
mm-hmm.
makes them even scarier because you can't really see what's going on. If you hear something,
yeah,
in the house,
I bet.
You don't know what it is, and you can't go outside to check on it. So if it's going to come, I prefer it come during the daytime.
Yeah, you want to see it coming.
At night.
Yeah, I want to see what's coming at me.
Absolutely.
I think that is so interesting. Like part of me would want to see it coming, but then the other part of me would definitely just not want to see it coming at all. And just a quick note for all of you that are joining us this evening on At Home with Victoria. This is kind of a special show, kind of sort of dedicated to all the folks like Lyndon, Charlie that you know live in these areas along the Northeast that. Are threatened every single year by hurricanes. Linda's one of my fans, and I love her to death, and she listens to the show. And she was kind of talking yesterday about getting ready for the hurricane. So I said, well, why don't you come on tomorrow, meaning today, and, you know, just chat with us about it and kind of, you know, take some questions and see what life is like for folks like you guys living down there. So, of course, she was very nice enough to come on. And then she says, hey, my fiance Charlie will come on too. So, Charlie, we're very blessed and happy to have you on the show as well. And also the chat room is just full of a lot of people and guests tonight. So I want to thank Cheryl for being with us. I want to thank Lisa for kind of producing the chat room tonight. I want to thank Michelle. My friend that on Facebook that I asked her kind of late if she would post on her wall that we were going to be on here. So I want to thank New York Hazel Eyes as well as Marvin and Linda, who's talking to us now, is also inside the chat room. And just a bunch of guests that we have as well. I do want to let all of you know that my friend Michelle says that that she's praying for both of you and that hopefully, you know, nothing too much is going to come of it in terms of your way. And then, of course, Michael is joining us also on the show tonight. Michael, I was really interested in a lot of the facts and information that you just on hurricanes in general. Charlie, one thing that I noticed when I was looking at the map there, it doesn't seem like there, and maybe you can just kind of speak to the roads and sort of how people move around that area with the ferries anyway, but it doesn't seem like there are lots and lots of roads through there. So, I mean, so you've got a bunch of main roads that the people can evacuate to sort of get in and out of down there?
Where we live, there's Highway 70 that runs on into Raleigh and right on through Raleigh, and it's a four-lane highway, and we also have Highway 24, which heads south towards Wilmington, and through and or actually runs through Jacksonville and then over to Fayetteville, and then you've got 17, which is further inland in New Bern that runs down the coast. So from here, we've got some good roads to actually get out, and they're all four lane. But north of us, it's all two lane road from Moorhead all the way up to Cedar Island is all two lane. And then you've got the ferries that have to cross over to Ocracoke, and that's all two-lane across the Ocracoke. And then you've got another ferry to cross over to Hatteras. And Highway 12 is two-lane all the way up from Hatteras ferries all the way up to Nags Head. So you've got 60 miles of travel. That's all two-lane. And all those people that are on the island, on the Outer Banks, trying to get off on a two-lane road, it's pretty bad. It's very
yeah, hard. I can imagine, yeah. That's why I asked that question, because I thought about that, because I, you know, like many people, I've been down to the Outer Banks on vacation, and one thing that struck me about that area is that, you know, you don't have a lot of roads down there. It's always seemed to be, you know, maybe one or two main roads to sort of get in and out of town, but there weren't many, many options. And what's also funny about that area, and you know, when you don't live in an area like the two of you, that's not something that we think about in the city. You know, there are all of these signs all over the place that talk about evacuation. So, you know, that was something right. that I kind of took notice when I was down there visiting, you know, on vacation. I remember thinking, my goodness, you know, there's just so many signs all over the place for, you know, just evacuation every single where. So it's just a different perspective of living in the city versus living in a place where you live, and that you're constantly at a certain point of the year, you constantly have to think about evacuate.
That's right. And one of the reasons they do evacuations so early on the Outer Banks is because the roads get so congested and trying to get all those people off, they have to do it early enough to be able to get them, give them the chance. So they do it earlier than they would at areas where they've got good highways out, like highway Interstate 40 in Wilmington. You know, they've got access to 3-lane highways, 6-lane highways up, so it's not so bad. But there, it's rough getting off that island, so they'd have to start early and just in case to protect the people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
they have
30 hours.
Yeah.
Good information. Well, we are basically, I told you that the show was going to go by so fast because Linda was a little nervous, but I think she has done a fabulous job. And I told her, I said, it's going to go by so fast. I mean, you won't even know that we're done by the time we actually get done. So, Linda and Charlie. actually, Charlie, I have to tell you from reviews inside the chat room, you're a rock star right now. Everyone's like, we love Charlie. Go, Charlie. Charlie is the man. So you're a rock star tonight, Charlie.
Thank you.
Charlie is my rock star huge time. I can't. That's, what kind of constitution does it take? I tell you, Linda, you got a good man there.
Yes, I do. He's a good guy.
I got a good woman,
and
too.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I love to hear.
Oh,
good woman, good man.
That is so sweet. Well, both of you are absolutely just fabulous. And again, Linda and Charlie, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show because I know you're probably thinking about other stuff. So Michael and I are going to let you go. And Linda, I know you're going to keep us posted on Facebook as to how things are going. But Charlie, let me ask you this before you leave because I haven't seen the latest. I don't have my other computer screen up. When is the brunt of it supposed to come to your area, or is it going to miss you guys? Do you know what the latest is there?
Yeah, it's going to miss us quite a bit because we're probably tucked inside of, from Hatteras, probably another 30, 40 miles. So that puts the hurricane further away from us than it does to Hatteras.
Right.
And also the direction of the wind is blowing across the landmass and the backside of us. So we don't get that. But it's supposed to come by here sometime around any time now, between now and 12 o'clock. It should be going by us and then heading on up to Hatteras around 2 o'clock.
Wow.
We're going to keep our fingers crossed.
Just for an update, too, Hurricane
ahead,
Earl's
Michael,
moving.
Sorry,
honey, but just as an update, Earl is moving at about 110 miles an hour, sustained winds. It's been downgraded to a 2, so that's really good news, and it's moving north at 18 miles an hour. So.
Yeah, that's getting better.
It's a bit far north.
But then you also have Fiona to look forward to and Gaston to look forward to. I don't think Fiona's going to touch you. That's pretty much going to stay out in the ocean. But, you know, that's just too many people.
Gaston is one that we need to look at next. That's
really?
There seems to always be another one out there brewing somewhere in the ocean waiting to creep up there on you. But, Linda and Charlie, God bless both of you, and thank you so much for being on the show. Linda, you make sure you give us updates so that we know that you're okay, all right?
Okay.
Absolutely, guys.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
Thank
you,
Linda and Charlie.
Thank you,
love you guys.
Thank you so
good.
Much. Aren't they just absolutely wonderful, Michael?
There's no way I would stay. I'm telling you. I just sat here. That's why I got quiet. It's like, oh my God. You know what? I was in two tornadoes in Saskatchewan. That quiet eye of the thing. I know what that's like. I moved. I moved to Vancouver. I had two earthquakes. I moved. That's it. I'm not good with these natural disaster things at all.
But you know what? I have to say, and this is just based on my 16 years experience in television news and covering these types of things. You know, there's always somebody like Charlie who has lived in that area, you know, his entire life, and they really do a pretty decent job of judging as to if they should stay or if they should go. But one thing that I do, you know, want to mention that Charlie did say, which let me know he's on top of it, you know, he was like, basically, if it stayed at a Category 3 and it was going to turn in a certain way, then we were out of here. So, you know, he seems like he certainly knows when it's time to get out of there, for sure.
Well, he's been through enough of them. My God Almighty! I mean, and yet, when I was doing my research today, when you click on his stuff, it's the most beautiful place to live. I mean, it's just delicious little small stores, not overly populated, lots of water, lots of sunlight. So, I mean, that's probably why they stay there. So.
Yeah, it is absolutely just, you know, that whole area down there, beautiful place. Now, I haven't been to where Linda is in Moorhead, but I have been to, you know, Outer Banks itself, and it is absolutely beautiful, but it's always just fascinating to me, Michael, just, you know, Mother Nature, how you can have this, like you said, this just beautiful, absolutely wonderful place where you've got these fantastic beaches and sunshine, and then, you know, you can have something like a hurricane certain parts of the year that threatens all of that beauty to tear it down. And then, you know, these folks have got to rebuild and start all over again. It's just an interesting dichotomy there.
Oh, absolutely. And they really have sustained so much damage. Like I said, it was when I was looking up and everything, again, the constitution of the people in the area will have to make that work. So I just pray to God that they're missed, and I hope Hatteras doesn't get too slammed, because that it looks like it's going just directly into it, according to the National Weather Service. So that's a lot of scary.
I know. It is very, 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 very scary. But I feel I just want to mention, Michael, inside the chat room, Linda and Lisa and everybody who's experienced the Outer Banks and who have been there before, they're basically talking about that it is a beautiful place to visit, and that whole area down there is really, really beautiful. And again, all of you guys are just right on target when it comes to that, because it really is just a pretty, pretty, pretty place. But I'm just excited because my really good friend Michelle is joining us, Michael, inside the chat room. Heather said she was going to tune in and listen tonight, so Heather Daniels is out there. Hello, Heather, and thank you so
much for
being with us. Yes, Heather is with us. Isn't that great? Don't we love Heather?
Love Heather. Such a pretty little thing, that one. She was bragging on that she was going to have the seafood fest tonight, you know, and just by reading it, I got a little hungry, so. Little monster. But her kids go back to school pretty soon, don't they?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I think so. I think she's actually was kind of working on that now. So, Heather, we just wanted to give you a shout-out because I think this is your first time with us on the air. So hello to Heather and my good friend Michelle and all of our regular show.
Absolutely.
All the good people, who like to
absolutely. And hey to Lisa and hey to Marilyn and hey to everybody in the chat room. I miss my chat room, but, I mean, this is
fun. And Gina.
And Gina's there,
Gina
too?
Gina is also in there. Yeah, Gina is also in there, too. But I just want to do a really quick wrap, and then I'll let Michael wrap a few things up. That the good news is that Hurricane Earl has weakened, and it's down to a Category 2 now, which basically means they're probably going to get a lot of rain and wind. But, again, that area where Linda is, it sounds like, from what Charlie said, they're actually going to be okay. More so the Outer Banks opposite from where Linda is, it sounds like they're going to sustain a little bit more problems than what Linda is going to. Now, I do know that the surfs, of course, are just really heavy and pounding, you know, the East Coast from the Atlantic Beach in North Carolina, basically up and down the Northeast. So I just want everybody, if you know, including myself, because I'm, like, right outside of Ocean City, Maryland. In fact, my friends are down here doing live shots now from Baltimore, WMAR, and all of my friends in D.C. So I hope all of those guys be safe. I'm just happy that, Michael, I'm not out there reporting I normally would have to be. So I'm inside and I'm dry.
Well, good. I'm about to get wet with my Mr. Chardonnay now, because now I'm sad.
Michael, this show has been too stressful for you. You've got to have a glass of Chardonnay when we're done, sweetie.
Absolutely. You know, I like Mr. Chardonnay. He's a good friend of mine.
You like Mr. Chardonnay.
Absolutely.
And actually, we have some folks in the chat room that says that they love Ocean City, Maryland as well. But in any event, listen, everybody, thank you so much, seriously, for taking the time to join us. I know it was short notice, but I just kind of wanted to do the show since it was timely, and also to, you know, kind of just see what life is like for people like Linda and Charlie who live in this area that go through this stuff all the time and, you know, that kind of maintain and stay there. And back year after year and rebuild and do all of those good things. So, Michael, any last parting thoughts you want to say?
I just want to go ahead and thank everybody in the chat and thank all the listeners tonight for doing this, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's a lot of fun. I hope I helped you out.
Oh, of course you did. That because, you know, I get to drink something when I get tired of talking, and then you get to talk and help me out. So, you know, I greatly love you and appreciate you. You are the man.
And God knows I can talk.
Yes, you can. All right, Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Vic. Good night, everybody. Have a great night. Take care.
That's funny. He says, and God knows I can talk. That is absolutely funny. But listen again, everybody, thank you so much for being with us. So the good news is that I think Linda, at least, and Charlie are going to escape the major brunt of Hurricane Earl, but, you know, other folks in that area may not be as lucky, but it sounds like they're just going to get a lot of rain and high winds. So thank you, guys. I'm actually, again, back on the air tomorrow night. Donna is going to join me as I have a show about breast cancer, and the Tiger Lily Foundation in D.C. have got this really big event coming up, so we're going to talk about that. But in any event, Lisa, it's your job to close the door tonight on the chat room. Hugs and kisses. And again, thank you, everybody, so much. Come back and visit me if you're a guest. We like having new people, and so glad that you decided to drop by. Good night, everyone.